Father, we pray for an understanding of your word. We pray that your spirit would minister to our hearts and minds, that we might hear and respond through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please do be seated. When I was looking at the lectionary, it must have been back probably in June even, when the list of services came through. And I noticed that last Sunday was the lost coin and the lost sheep. And I thought, oh, that's great, because I love the parable of the two lost sons. And then I discovered that that was missed out, and that we were moving on to a passage that I have never preached on, and in fact, I've never heard a sermon on. It's quite a difficult parable. And so I thought we might explore this together this morning. This is the parable of the unjust steward or the shrewd manager. Well, Luke has already prepared the way. He's told us what Jesus has come to do. Because Jesus stood in the synagogue and he read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah that was handed to him. And rolling it, he found the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone was fixed on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Well, I wonder what the audience thought. Blessed are the poor, freedom to the prisoners, sight to the blind, setting free the oppressed. Well, many, of course, of Luke's audience would have been relatively well off. And they might be wondering how on earth they were going to get into the kingdom of God, where Jesus says, happy are the poor, and he's going to release prisoners and set free the oppressed. Well, this context gives meaning to the inclusion by Luke of four parables and one encounter which are only found in his account of the gospel. Luke clearly has a pastoral concern for his audience, for those who are relatively well off. And so he includes the story of Zacchaeus, the parable of the rich fool, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the parable of the good Samaritan, and the parable of the shrewd or dishonest manager. So as Christian communities today, we can actually ask questions not about the precise parable as it was told, nor about Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus, but rather about the church of Luke in its own context as rich Christians seeking eternal life when Jesus declares good news for the poor. This understanding allows us to take the Bible story into our own context and bring our own questions to it. And when we read the gospel stories, we don't just see an event in the life of Jesus. We also see an event in the life of the early church who chose to include these particular stories. And that helps us to identify our own story, our own experience, and to recognize that we too are listening to these gospel narratives. So the shrewd manager, often seen as a problematic parable. The other parables about money are fairly obvious in their meaning and interpretation. I mean, the Good Samaritan uses his wealth to help a neighbour, irrespective of that neighbour's religion or ethnic origin. Now, this was a favourite of Margaret Thatcher because she interpreted it as justification for acquiring wealth, so to develop a top-down charitable generosity without ever asking the question about why people were in need or why they were poor in the first place. Whereas, of course, the parable is not about acquiring wealth. It's about the care of the vulnerable and the disadvantaged neighbour who is not one of us. The parable of the rich fool It's a clear message that we can't take our riches with us when we die. And the parable of the rich man and Lazarus is again a clear message of not ignoring those who are poorer than we are, and that our eternal destiny is shaped by our actions on behalf of the poor. And the story of Zacchaeus is a clear message of repentance, turning around, listening to Jesus, changing our lives and living the Jesus way. But what about the shrewd or dishonest manager? Here in the title, we give the parable two interpretations, shrewd or dishonest in handling money. It is one parable that is rarely addressed by preachers. I remember a member of my congregation in Rushden who came up to me. She was a relatively new Christian, and she said, "I've been reading my Bible," she said, "and I found this passage that I simply do not understand. It seems to be contrary to all I understand about Jesus." And she asked if I could explain it to her. And it was this parable, which, like most preachers, I had faithfully avoided. Maybe we should begin with Jesus' concluding words, which will help to tease out the meaning. "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of the light." And then when we come to the end of the reading as we heard it, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Well, are we shrewd in our Christian discipleship, living a life that makes friends of God? Or, as Jesus puts it elsewhere, storing up treasure in heaven? Are we living for money and wealth? Are we serving ourselves? What controls our life? Are we seeking to serve the Lord? Are we seeking to live the Jesus life? So what about the manager in Jesus' story? The dishonest label may apply to the reason for his dismissal by his master. But then we might think of his actions in understanding his master's debtors to be dishonest rather than shrewd. Is this dishonesty? "How much do you owe? Well, let's mark it down as half that." "How much do you owe? Well, we'll just reckon it as 80% of what you owe." So whether it is dishonest or shrewd, it guarantees friends for a future when out of work. Life will be difficult then. "I can't do manual labour. I don't want the shame of begging, but I will have friends who I have helped who will then help me when I'm out of a job." There is, however, an alternative interpretation where the amount owed includes a very high interest rate. Usury was against the Jewish religious law, and the shrewd manager is removing the interest, thus protecting his master from the accusation of law-breaking. Hence the master, and it seems Jesus, commends the manager. So Jesus commends storing up treasure in heaven, making friends with God, and in so doing, serving God rather than having our lives controlled by simply the desire to make money. So what's the context? We've spoken about a message for rich Christians, but when we look at the context, we read back to the previous chapter, chapter 15, where Jesus tells three parables about being lost. Lost in the sense of being in the presence of God. A lost coin, a lost sheep, and two lost sons. He tells these parables to an audience composed of Pharisees, teachers of the law, tax collectors, and sinners. And we find the joy of salvation in the sheep and the coin being found, and the younger son received back into his father's family. But the elder son, who clearly represents the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, remains lost, even at home, refusing his father's love and refusing his father's forgiveness of his brother. And then we move into chapter 16 and the parable of the shrewd manager, followed by the parable of Dives and Lazarus, the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man ignores the poverty at his gate and ends his life separated from God, a bit like the elder brother. Later in chapter 19, the lost tax collector Zacchaeus points the right way, because he finds salvation in a changed life in following Jesus. Well, the shrewd or dishonest manager is about to be dismissed by his master. And the one certainty for all of us is our dismissal from this life into the unknown regions of eternity. One means is available to him and to us of securing an eternal home. It's to engage in the right use of the opportunities that we have in our daily lives. Mammon is generally understood as worldly possessions, characteristic of an unrighteous age, which we can't take into eternity. Although these things, our property, our abilities, our time, although they belong to this life, says Jesus, yet what will happen to us when we pass into eternity will depend on what we're doing with them in the here and now. So Jesus' challenge is to make sure that our use of our possessions and our gifts brings us into fellowship with friends that survives beyond death. Would that it were that the people of the light were as shrewd as the people of this age, says Jesus. So what about us? How can we respond to this parable of Jesus? Jesus is not, of course, telling his friends how to deal with ill-gotten gains, but warning them that where money is concerned, there are dangers. Indeed, the general message is that money can be redeemed from its normally sinister character only if it is used as a means of promoting friendship and a heavenly capital. I was trying to find some sort of illustration that might help, and I turned to a book that I picked up, it must be 30 years or more ago, Young People's Parables, collected by Sir Malcolm Muggeridge and the Church of England Children's Society. And they are a pile of parables which young people were invited to write. And the one that I'm going to read now was written by a girl from Merseyside, 16 years of age, called Mandy Ryan. And her parable is called Green Papers. The sun shone on the pavement and was reflected like a sheet of gold from the window panes. One man walked down the street towards a tall grey building, which was the bank. He walked past the travel agents, past the church, past the Oxfam Centre, past the supermarket. He stood impatiently, waiting for the doors to open, unaware of the washed and well-worn appearance of his coat, but clutched the old leather case in which the previous night's takings were stocked. He entered into the bank, pushing to the front of the crowd, and by means of several discourteous remarks to the cashier, deposited the notes on the into his bank account. Back home that day, the windows of the room were dirty, and the room itself, though fairly large, was old and poorly heated. That night he went to sleep and dreamt that he was in a strange land, a misty and cloud-like expanse. In the distance, he saw a light and went shuffling towards it, holding his old leather case tightly. He pushed through a group of people and banged his case down on the desk, holding the sign, Chief Cashier. Yes, said the bespectacled man seated in front of him. Have you come to settle up? Yes, answered the man, suddenly humbled by this ageless figure before him. He opened the case and laid the crisp notes on the desk. The cashier looked amused and laughed. Is this a joke? No, answered the surprised man. Come on, you don't expect to pay back the loan of life with pieces of green paper, do you? Well, yes, answered the man, very confused. Oh, I see you've forgotten the terms, came the cashier's reply. Well, let me outline the main points of our agreement. My boss doesn't ask much, no interest, only that you can change the loan into a more profitable form of return. Experiences in life, generosity, goodwill, joy, service, love, etc. But I'm afraid we don't take pieces of green paper. So perhaps we can forget our little misunderstanding and get down to business. The man protested. But this is ridiculous. My money is perfectly good. The cashier remained calm. All right. All right. So things are a bit down at the moment. Why didn't you say so? Look, I'm not ungenerous. I'll give you an extension of 3 years. With that, he found himself sitting upright in his bed, and for the first time the next day, he saw the travel agents, the church, the Oxfam shop, the supermarket, and the friendly cashier at the bank in a new light. Some passages in the Bible are not immediately clear to us, but I believe that God intends us to seek out the meaning for ourselves. So I didn't ignore the parable of the shrewd and dishonest manager when it appeared in the lectionary readings for today. And we learn, as Mandy Ryan suggests to us, that we see that God looks for our experiences, our generosity, our goodwill, our love, our service, or making friends in this life, as Jesus taught, as a route to our eternity with God.